This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The Center for Research on Inner City Health analyzed health survey data representative of more than 75,000 Canadian women who recently had given birth. Researchers looked at the relationship between low incomes and the risk of experiencing 3 to 5 of the following health conditions at the same time: adverse birth outcomes, postpartum depression, serious abuse, hospitalization during pregnancy, and frequent stressful life events. The study found that new mothers living on very low incomes were more than 20 times more likely to experience multiple health problems than new mothers living on high incomes. We're joined on the phone now by Dr. Patricia Ocampo, the director of the Center for Research on Inner City Health at St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto.
Welcome to People First Radio, Patricia.
Thank you very much and good afternoon.
Patricia, why was this research undertaken in the first place?
Well, I guess the short answer to that question is that we undertook this research to come up with a more accurate impact of the effect of poverty or low income on health than we typically get from studies on health. And I'd like to maybe explain that a little bit more. Most health researchers have a disease specialty like cancer or heart disease or mental health. I'm actually not that kind of a researcher. I'm a social epidemiologist, so I study how social factors impact health. Now, researchers who study cancer and heart disease and mental health, they certainly look at whether those who live in poverty have a higher chance of having bad health compared to those who do not live in poverty. But my question and my approach was different from what's typically done, because something like low income and poverty impacts not just one single disease, but rather it increases your chance of having a whole range of poor outcomes. So if I wanted to capture a truer impact of low income or poverty on health, I had to identify all the different health conditions, or at least several different health conditions impacted by poverty, and measure its collective impact. So believe it or not, very few studies in the past have looked at the impact of low income and poverty in this way.
Tell us about how you carried out the research. I mean, I'm looking at your article on this, and you write that the survey data represents more than 75,000 Canadian women. But we know you didn't interview or you didn't meet each of those women. How was the research then carried out?
Yeah, great question. Fortunately for me, there was a national sample of new mothers in Canada. That was undertaken by the Public Health Agency of Canada in 2006. And I was able to utilize that data that was collected and then weighted up to be a nationally representative sample of Canadian women who recently gave birth. Actually, there are, just for your information, several research articles that have come out from that study looking at a whole variety of different pregnancy outcomes and experiences that women had during birth. And I was able to use those data to undertake this particular analysis. And when we did it, we determined if there was a difference in the impact of poverty or low income if we measured it in the traditional way that health researchers do, so looking at one or two outcomes, versus looking at the impact of low income on a collection of outcomes that were described earlier, the adverse birth outcomes, postpartum depression, serious abuse, hospitalization during pregnancy, and frequent stressful life events.
Now, I want to ask you for a lot more information about what you actually found out, but I think you're already speaking in the direction of this kind of single disease method or single disease approach and a multiple health problems approach.
That's correct. And so if you take that single disease approach, And you look at the impact of very low income, that's around less than $20,000 a year. What you find is, say, for postpartum depression, women who were very low income compared to women who have incomes of $80,000 or more have about two times the risk of having postpartum depression. And that's about the range you get for any one of these outcomes that I'm talking about, hospitalization or adverse birth outcomes. But when you consider the multiple impact, as you mentioned, and you have, say, three or more of these conditions, you have a 20 times greater risk if you're low income, again, that's less than $20,000 a year, compared to women who are high income. And that's a huge difference. You actually don't see that large a difference in health studies typically. But then again, as most health researchers are not interested in looking at the collective and full impact of low income or poverty. They're interested in looking at how much of a risk poverty poses for their particular outcome of interest. Another way of thinking about our findings is that if we were to elevate the incomes of those women who are very low income, again, earning less than $20,000 a year, to a much higher level of income, we could prevent one-third of these adverse outcomes, fully 30%.
In your article in the Vancouver Sun, and for anyone who's listening and wants to Google this and look it up, Social Policy is Health Policy is the name of the article by Patricia Ocampo. Patricia, you wrote the following. The results were staggering. Why staggering? And give us a sense of the magnitude of this, if that's the right word, or the impact of this in terms of your findings.
Yes. So the results were staggering because, as I mentioned, we rarely see something like low income having a magnitude of difference of 20, right? So you're at 20 times the risk if you have very low income of having several of these adverse outcomes compared to somebody who is high income. As I mentioned earlier, you know, we're happy if we see, or not happy, but we can say that something is a significant risk if you see two or three times greater risk. But to have 20 times greater risk, that's why we said the results are staggering.
You wrote also that, quote, these findings also tell us that as researchers, we've been using the wrong tools and typically underestimating the full impact of income on health. Tell us more about that.
Well, we have been using what, again, in health research is fairly common, a disease-specific model to explain the risk factors for a particular disease. But when we're talking about social exposures, again, like poverty, or it could be like homelessness or inadequate housing, again, a social epidemiologist like me are interested in those risk factors. Those are not, they don't cause single diseases, or they're not disease specific. They're not like infectious disease agents, for example. And because they have a broad impact, we rarely, and this is unfortunate, we haven't actually been using the right tools to measure the impact of poverty. And this is very important because we use evidence, I hope, and we use research to determine what are the risk factors that we should pay attention to the most. But if we've been measuring or using the wrong tools to measure the impact of poverty on health, then we won't pay attention to it as much as we should, because we haven't necessarily been getting measuring the magnitude or the impact of poverty on health in the past in the right way.
What are the implications of the findings of this research, in particular for social policy?
Great question. So I think the implications are twofold. One is we have not been recognizing in the past just how important adequate income is in this case, and living at or near a poverty level has a much greater impact on health. It's much more harmful for health than we've previously recognized, in part because we're using the wrong tools. And there's a variety of ways to ensure that people have adequate incomes or adequate supports. And we need to prioritize ensuring that people have adequate income and supports to ensure, in this case, good pregnancy outcomes.
In terms of looking at all of this in practice, in terms of the way that the results of the study can be put into practice, I'm reading once again from your excellent article in the Vancouver Sun. You write, "We can start by acknowledging that our health is largely determined by factors that sit outside of the healthcare system." And as I read that, and I underlined that here just a moment ago, it strikes me that society still likes to focus directly on the healthcare system as the place to locate health giving or health repairing or health related activities. Tell us more about that challenge.
Yeah, so that's a great point. I mean, we all need and deserve a great healthcare system, and we all use that. But there's been several studies that have shown that the healthcare system is only responsible for 25% or less of our health. And that the other 75%, you know, some of that is going to be perhaps genes, but not the majority of it. The majority of that, the majority of the 75% is determined by what we call the social determinants of health. So good housing, adequate incomes, good jobs. So those are the, and access to good education, et cetera. Those are the kinds of things that determine our health and well-being.
Are there gender implications here as well? You didn't directly address that in your article, for example. Is there any reason to believe that women may not receive the same access to care as others in the system?
Well, I think in this case, we're really talking about, do women have a higher or lower chance of experiencing poverty than men? Unfortunately, the answer is that they do. Women don't earn as much as men. Even their pay for the same jobs is lower. And women often, because they have responsibility for household issues, often are less able to work full-time, or they need the right kind of supports in place in order to be able to earn, say, a living wage rather than a poverty-level wage. So there are gender issues here in the sense that women are more likely for a variety of reasons to be living in low income or in poverty.
Dr. Patricia Ocampo, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. It was much appreciated.
Thank you for taking an interest in the research.
Bye.
Thanks a lot.
Patricia Ocampo is a social epidemiologist and the director for the Center for Research of Inner City Health at St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto. You can find the Center for Research on Inner City Health online at crich.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.